Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale here with my helper, Anthony Garcia.
Hey.
On the boards, we've got a really fun show for you tonight. First up, Lori Z, DJ extraordinaire, here to talk about her amazing Shine events at the Star, and especially her Halloween Devils and Diva Party, Saturday, October 27th, costume party and more. Later, we'll chat with Dave Hall from Food for Thought, who will tell us all about dining out for life. First up, Greg Moralia and Outbeat News and Calendar.
I'd love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of October 21st, 2018. The Tokyo municipal government passed a bill last week to end discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. The legislation was made for a smooth and inclusive conduct of the Tokyo Summer Olympics that's scheduled to be held in 2020. The law will prohibit organizations and individuals from utilizing public spaces to make hate speech. The legislation also mandates the creation of awareness about LGBT rights through education. The new law becomes effective in April of 2019. Japan's director of Human Rights Watch, Kane Doi, said, quote, "The Tokyo Metropolitan Government has enshrined in law its commitment to hosting an inclusive and rights-respecting Olympic Games." He added that the authorities now need to put the policy into action and end anti-LGBT discrimination in schools, workplaces, and wider society. Last week, we reported on the 20-year mark since Matthew Shepard was murdered in Laramie, Wyoming. Following Matthew's funeral almost two decades ago, Matthew's remains were never laid to rest in a permanent location because his family feared the site would be desecrated. But last week, the Shepard family announced that Matthew will finally be laid to rest in a permanent location. The family accepted an invitation from the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. to lay Matthew to rest in a place that is both safe and available for people to visit in the future. The cathedral has been the location of many significant events, including the funeral services of Presidents Woodrow Wilson and Dwight Eisenhower. Its pulpit was the last one used by Martin Luther King Jr. for his speech prior to his assassination. The cathedral is also the burial place of other notable people, including Woodrow Wilson and Helen Keller. Matthew's father, Dennis Shepard, said, quote, "I think it's a perfect, appropriate place. We as a family are happy and relieved that we now have a final home for Matthew, a place that he himself would love." An interment ceremony is set for this coming Friday, and it'll be broadcast on YouTube via a link available at cathedral.org. And we'll have more coverage of this event and highlights from the annual Matthew Shepard Foundation Gala next Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Outbeat News in Depth, right here and only on Radio 91. And finally, here locally, a man running for city council in Redwood City had the fence outside of his apartment vandalized with an anti-gay slur this last week. The word gay was written in black spray paint on the fence outside Jason Galastatis' bedroom. The 25-year-old Stanford University graduate told the Bay Area Reporter, quote, "It was unsettling, but I won't be intimidated, nor will I cease to speak out when I see instances of hatred," end quote. Although Galastatis said people have been very supportive of him and the LGBT community, this is not an isolated incident. If elected, Galastatis would be Redwood City's first openly LGBT elected city council member and the first openly gay person of color elected to any city in San Mateo County. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
But I don't know what to do.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Outbeat Radio, and I welcome back to the show one of my favorite guests, Lori Z.
Thank you so much, Gary. It's always so nice to be
sure.
With you. Really excited about this Halloween party that's coming up in a week. It's going to be the second edition of what I call Devils and Divas Halloween House and Dance Party. It's going to be at a new venue that I'm really happy to announce we are doing a monthly event at, the last Saturday of the month. So this Halloween party falls on Saturday, October 27th.
Perfect. So tell us about the Star.
Yeah, the Star is so cool. It used to be, well, it has a little bit of a history in how it's moved around the neighborhood. The Star is now located in the old Jasper O'Farrell's location, which was an Irish pub for like 40 years or so in Sebastopol. And the Star was originally called the Lucky Star. It was just around the corner, and they loved to refer to themselves as a dive bar, which immediately caught my interest and made me want to be at least a patron. So started doing stuff over there with DJ Mr. Element. It was a party called Rainbows and Crystals, so I got to know the owners a little bit, Halia and Adam, and they're just really cool people. They were excited to get an opportunity to move into the old Jasper's building, and so that they could have more of what they call a venue as opposed to the self-proclaimed dive bar that they had. So they're doing a lot of different musical events over there, live music, electronic music, dance parties of all different kinds of genres. So it's great to be a part of their going into the venue aspect of their business. And also super excited to have a monthly LGBTQ and friends, what I'm calling a house party, on the last Saturday of the month. So right now, we welcome you, no cover, absolutely free. We just want you to be there, know you can have a good time, and enjoy yourselves, tell your friends about it, bring them with you. I'm really excited about this party because, first of all, Halloween is my favorite holiday. Go figure.
Will you be dressing up?
I can only go so far because I have to have the headphones on to be doing my mixing. And also, I have to sort of MC the whole. We're going to have something called Show Us Your Moves Dance Contest. And this is going to be great. So I encourage you to start practicing now. And because there will be a great grand prize we will offer to the winners of this contest. I keep envisioning John Travolta with the, not the Saturday Night Fever,
oh,
but the with the
Hitman.
Batman
Eye.
What was that from? You know the movie I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where he made his big comeback.
Pulp Fiction.
I keep picturing the John Travolta Pulp
Uma
Fiction
Thurman
kind of
dance, right?
Yes, that. And but whatever.
But no heart stopping.
No heart stopping.
and starting.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you never know. It is Halloween, or it's going to be our celebration of Halloween that night. I should mention it starts at 9:30 and goes till closing. So, I do a mix of house music, club classics, funk, soul, world grooves, just kind of really mix it up, which has always been my thing. But I also love to play to whoever's there. If they have, like, for instance, especially the dance contest, if
right.
you know what you've been uh-huh. practicing. otherwise, you can ask me if you don't have it with you. A lot of people these days, they bring their phones and say, oh, can I have this song? And we can usually work that in.
Yeah.
That's how these days people bring their own music is usually on their phones. But I have a huge, huge collection of music with me all the time. So we'll be able to make it work for you no matter what.
Do you still run around with vinyl?
I still have every single piece of vinyl that I've ever owned since I started collecting music.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember my very, very first album was Meet the Beatles. So that's going to really date me. And the reason I know this is my father, who I'm so blessed to still have, he just turned 91, took a classic photograph of me and him, you know, where I'm basically sitting in his lap and he's holding up the Beatles album.
Oh, cute.
And yeah, so that's right. how I know that was my first album. But you know, this party is evolving, and I'm hoping to have guest DJs come in along with me on the last Saturday of the month at the Star in Sebastopol.
Sell it, girl.
Yeah. But, yeah. So vinyl probably will occur as I love it. I just don't – if they had a turntable set up already there – I'd be like all for it.
You'd be on it.
Yeah, because I do really love vinyl. And I have such great classic 12-inch singles from, you know, the heyday of the 80s, the 90s. So it took me a while to switch over to the laptop DJ.
Yeah.
I was really resistant to it for a long time.
Well, you can't, I mean, you know, not all of those 12-inch big style, you know, lengthy versions of those
extended
tunes
versions
are available.
No, they're not.
Right.
They're not. And I'm still kind of transferring the vinyl to digital little by little.
Yeah.
But I do really love vinyl, and I appreciate the DJs who are bringing it to the clubs and making it still a part of the dance scene.
Well, people are so into it. I mean, it amazes me when you go into stores. I mean, I was talking to Doug, and I was like, how much vinyl do you sell? And he's like, a ton. And, you know, they're $30 a pop.
I didn't realize that. So,
oh,
like,
for,
new
for
vinyl?
For an album, right?
For, like, a whole, like, a standard album?
I remember, who was it, Steely Dan and the Eagles, when they bopped up to, like, almost $10? Maybe it wasn't even $10. Oh, Anthony, we're so old. But it was, like, this huge outcry. Like, it was the end of the world because we used to buy albums for $7.99. What? I mean, remember the jump to $10 was like the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I focused on buying singles as the primary source of my music for a long time.
Yeah, 45.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean,
45,
12
you
inch,
kids out there.
12 inch singles.
Right. Oh, right.
I mean, as
part of
my
were
club DJing for the last couple decades.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what they say brought down the music business, was that people would just buy songs individually. But that's kind of what you do as a club DJ.
Right. Oh,
Even before the whole digital download thing. You know,
right.
It's a popular song, you'd get it on vinyl, you'd have all the different mixes available.
Right.
And then depending on your mood or whatever beat you were going for.
You had to run to the restroom, so you put on the 17-minute version of MacArthur Park.
And definitely. Extended
it's cocktail
version.
Time and
yes, I think that having to go to the restroom is one of the most difficult parts of being a club DJ, because you've got to plan on getting that break in there somehow, some way.
Right.
And extended versions of songs usually help. Or I have something I've been doing for years, and I'm sure many other club DJs, you know, they have a pre-mix set so they can go, you know, take care of business, so to speak.
So talk about some of your most cherished, taking care of business. Talk about some of your most cherished 45 extended.
You mean my 12
vinyl,
inch
your
singles?
Your 12 inch. Yeah.
Oh, my.
And then I'll tell you mine.
Jeez.
I always love the
Chardé
color. Like, I have White Wedding on white vinyl.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
I mean, how cool is that?
That is really cool. I have to say that I thought the 90s were a really great period for club music.
Yeah.
I always feel strange when I say that I can't really find current music that really speaks to me these days. But what's really great about the crowd that's coming to the Star is they really seem to enjoy that old school
the
sound,
if
you want.
Yeah.
To call it, or vintage.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We could call it vintage,
old school.
Or just what I call classic.
Right.
Because I think any really good music can go across the years. And if it's good, it's still good from 20 years ago or today.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned the Beatles earlier, and there's the band. I mean, you weren't there when Meet the Beatles came out. You weren't a teenager. You were a child.
I was a child.
Right, right. But still, then it evolved. I mean, I remember being so into the Beatles when we were in high school, and, 10 years later, almost, after they had broken up. So,
I always loved music. My DJing was sort of a offshoot of being a musician, which is probably common for a lot of DJs. I thought that I would be taking a big chance if I tried to make a career as a musician, thinking that radio, because that was where I started in my DJing, would have been any easier, was, I think, just youthful thinking. Because any aspect of the entertainment business is, you just never know how it's going to go. I like to tell people, never a dull moment in the life of DJ Laurie Z.
Many people can attest to that.
So Gary, don't go telling my secrets.
So did you start DJing in clubs or on radio?
Radio is where it all began.
Yeah.
It began at KSUN at Sonoma State University.
I know.
Which at that time was called, affectionately known as Granola State. And you could literally buy T-shirts.
I think I were there the other day.
In the bookstore there that said Granola State.
Oh,
they loved
cute.
To make fun of
that's
themselves
cute.
Even back then.
Right, right, right.
And so, I started at Granola State as a psych major. And then I moved into a music major. And then eventually I became liberal arts. Mm. All these little transitions.
You're widening the net.
Yes. And that's when my focus became on radio.
Yeah.
And so I got involved with KSUN. I was a music director. Speaking of the Beatles, one of the most intense memories of my broadcasting career was I was on the air the night John Lennon was killed.
Yeah.
And I was featuring his new album.
Right.
Double Fantasy.
I know.
Had just come out.
Uh-huh.
So one of the great things about college radio is you had freedom to do whatever you want. So I put on the first side and played it. And then I'm playing the second side. And somebody calls me and says, John Lennon's been shot. And I go, that is not funny.
Right.
I thought this was just some college prank, and he said, no, seriously.
Mm.
And I was, because I was spending a whole hour of my show featuring and talking about Double Fantasy. And I said, oh, my God, is he dead? And he said, well, we don't know yet.
Mm.
And then obviously we all know what happened.
Right, yeah.
But that was intense. I spent the next 24 hours glued to the TV and just in shock. And I think many people still, if you were alive then, you remember that day.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
I remember learning too. Yeah.
So I was the one.
I was probably late.
Who announced it.
Yeah. Right away.
Yeah.
But it was probably late at night. No?
Well, I announced that he had
remember.
Been
yeah.
shot,
Right. New York time. So it would have been later here. Yeah. I can't remember the time exactly. I know we're, the last couple of years losing so many artists just who were way too young. I mean, Bowie and Tom Petty and Prince. I know. So
Prince
young.
Prince was a big one. I mean, chills just thinking about it.
I know.
Huge influence for me.
Now,
there's a great example of an artist who I feel I never get tired of.
Oh, right.
I never get
and
tired
of playing
Prince. And
we probably never will, because there are thousands of songs in the vault. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you've been following some
Yes, I have been.
I know. It's just incredible. I mean, he just released something, right? I read an article that's coming out, like, him at a piano doing, like, rock standards, right? Did you hear about that?
I did hear about they were going to release a lot of stuff that hadn't been available before.
Right. No, this is him. I can't remember the name of the album now, but it's just him and a piano doing, Heroes and all these incredible sort of songs.
He does a beautiful version of Joni Mitchell's.
That's on it. That's on the CD.
River,
I'm talking about Case of You, maybe.
I thought it was River. Anyway.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All great songs, certainly.
I am going to go to this huge party in L.A. November 6th to celebrate Joni Mitchell's 75th birthday.
Really?
And it's going to feature Seal, Emmylou Harris, Norah Jones.
Why don't I know about this?
This is, like, really big for me because Joni Mitchell is one of my
favorites.
Heroes.
Yeah.
So, this is a big deal, and I'm excited about that. Yeah. And what's really awesome was I just kind of jokingly on social media put up the ad for this show that's happening. It's going to be a 2-day celebration with all these artists doing tributes to her. And hopefully, I'm sure she will be there. I'm hoping she's going to get on stage.
Hard to
imagine. Had a lot of health issues in the last few years, so hard to know for sure if she'll be able to jam or whatever with these incredible musicians who will be honoring her music. I put this on my social media. If anybody's wondering what I'd like for my birthday this year, and then as a beautiful, beautiful gift, a friend of mine who I haven't seen in 30 years called me up late at night and said, guess what? We're going. So I get to see this dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a once-in-a-lifetime event. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, singer-songwriters, that's what I consider myself, more of a songwriter than a singer, although I can carry a tune. But that's really what influenced my love of music and going to concerts.
Right.
But I really love all styles of music, which is what I've carried into how I present my DJ experiences.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to hear a little bit of everything. And it just depends on who's there and how we're, how it's feeling.
Right, right. Nice. So talk about some of the first LGBT clubs that you played in Sonoma County. Go back in the time machine.
Ziggurat.
Never even heard of it.
Ziggurat eventually, it's such a strange story about Ziggurat because it's the Russian River Theater, which used to be Fab. So Ziggurat evolved into Fab. Mm-hmm. But it was originally the Russian River Theater.
Which is like a movie theater.
Yeah, right. And then it became a club. I mean, when they turned it into Ziggurat, they spent like $1 million renovating that place.
Yeah.
It was like this fancy kind of Greek type of look.
Greek revival.
Greek revival, yes. And they had a really, really nice DJ setup.
Huh.
That was when I had one of my first experiences as a VJ. And so music videos were starting to get really popular. And
hey, Anthony, you know what VJ means?
Video jockey.
Oh,
yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
He's so smart.
Yes. And
we're testing the young people.
So they had this screen that they wanted you to use for dramatic effects. So I would actually mix from vinyl into VHS videos.
Oh, wow.
And, because they weren't on DVD at this time.
Right,
this is 80s, late 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Really, mid 80s.
Mid 80s, yeah.
It's all such a blur at this point.
I know. I mean, MTV went on 81 or something. So
yeah, it was definitely mid to late 80s.
Right.
So it was really an amazing experience, having to be able to mix seamlessly from vinyl to video.
Wow.
And you just have to, you know, correct for lag time because it was just a VHS.
That sounds just crazy.
And you'd have to cue it up just right.
Right. So you were looking at a screen, previewing then cueing up the
music. So I'd have maybe the vinyl going, and then when we wanted to have the big dramatic effect, this huge screen would come down on the stage and the video would play, and then I'd mix out of that into whatever, and either another video or more vinyl or a CD. I mean, for years, I carried around two turntables if I was doing my own mobile DJ business.
Right.
Two turntables, all the crates of records.
Crates and crates and crates.
Two CD players and all the crates of boxes of CDs with me as well.
Right.
So the laptop thing has been good just for ease.
For the back.
For the back.
And the knees.
Yeah, so Ziggurat was one of the first, but I also co-produced Russian River Women's Weekend for 10 years solid, and at that time it was from 95 to 2005, and we had Women's Weekend twice a year at that point, so it was always in May and in September.
And they were huge.
Yeah, they were big. They were big, and I really, boy, talk about some great times that I actually will not discuss on the air, but really, really fun times. I was so proud to be a part of, developing that.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was at the Triple R, which is now the R3.
Right.
And so I DJed over 22 pool parties out at the R3. And that was a wonderful, wonderful experience and glad that I could contribute to that. But that wasn't really, I mean, I'm trying to think of like actual clubs locally.
Uh-huh.
There's been a lot of LGBT clubs within other clubs, mostly.
Right. Did you ever play the Santa Rosa Inn?
I did one time.
Oh, wow.
One time, because there was a DJ there who had to go. Had to go on some and begged me to do it. And I do remember that night really well because I think that the inn had never had a mix like that before in that venue.
Yeah.
It was really good, though. Everybody was dancing. So
it was a hopping place in its time.
I brought my flavor to the Santa Rosa Inn.
How funny.
Yeah. So, I really, to be accurate, I wish I had written down all the names of these different little sub clubs that I've done over
and
the years.
Many of them long gone. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
so it's hard to.
There was Fresh that I did about 6 years ago. That was through Aubergine, which is now history. But I'm very excited about Shine because it is the first time in my DJ career in Sonoma County that we have a Saturday night as a regular event.
Yeah.
And I applaud the Star for wanting the LGBT community to know they are welcome. It's a safe place. And they just really want people to enjoy themselves and be who they are.
Right. And it's a great venue. Big, huge bar, fun cocktails. I mean, spacious.
Yeah, they've got a pool table. Ooh la la. They just, matter of fact, I saw on social media just before I came in here, this beautiful new design by Dom Chi, who is a local artist, young local artist, did this beautiful wave in the room where the it's like painted on the wall.
Oh, mural. Yeah.
Like a mural.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Couldn't come up with the right word. Similar to
like
a mural.
Like a mural, but
similar. It's
better.
It's a wall painting. And it's a wave, and it's right behind the pool table. And it looks fabulous.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And, I know they've been doing a singer-songwriter night over there. Just all kinds of stuff they're developing, and I'm pleased to be on the ground floor with them in this adventure.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Super.
So I will mention once again, Shine is the new LGBTQ and Friends, I call it house party, the last Saturday of every month. This time it's going to be October 27th. sometimes there's a 4 or 5 Saturdays
right. uh-huh.
in a month, so it's hard to always know which one, how it's going to fall. Starts at 9:30. This time we're doing my Devils and Divas Halloween house party.
Right.
And I encourage you to come in costume, but it is not necessary. I think the reason that I love Halloween so much is because it is an excuse to just be as weird as you want
right.
nobody's going to care.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful downtown Sebastopol.
Yes. Well, that's the other thing is I think this is the very first time, other than Rainbows and Crystals, that there has been an ongoing
right.
And definitely on a Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For LGBT and
right,
friends.
Right, right. Lupe was doing something for a while there, a long time ago at Hop Monk.
It was before it was called the Hop Monk.
Yeah, was it even? It wasn't even Hop Monk. It was just
yeah,
Monk
and
Space.
I can't even remember the name of that place.
Right. Oh yeah, you're right. That is true.
They've all, you know, the
right.
evolving club scene.
I know.
Yeah, Sebastopol's really grown a lot, especially
right.
with the Barlow and
yeah.
You know, things are
right.
really evolving.
I know,
over
go
there.
Fun places to have dinner, you know.
Yeah.
Have a nice dinner before and then go to the Star.
The Star.
I love it.
Yeah, the Star Bar. So, yeah, they did change their name from the Lucky Star
right.
to the Star.
Just the Star.
And I think that kind of went along with the
yeah.
changing from the dive bar to the Star, meaning
right.
a place where you can be a star.
Right.
And that's kind of where Shine, I got the name for Shine, uh-huh. unconsciously. I was just trying to come up with a cool name that sort of an offshoot of what they had been doing before
yeah.
with Rainbows and Crystals. And I'm thinking, Rainbows and Crystals, what do they do? They're sparkly. They
mm-hmm.
shine.
Yeah.
Bingo. And that's how I came up with
right.
it. And then unconsciously, the correlation of stars shine,
yeah.
and then we all shine on.
Right. So people can find out more about you and Shine. Do you have a website or your
My
Facebook
social
page?
Media, please.
Okay.
Please, if you have a moment, there's a little like button on there, and that would be
on
very
your Facebook
cool.
page.
Yes,
so
or
it's like an
Instagram.
Event page.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also on Twitter. So, yeah, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Okay, Lori Z.
Yeah, DJ Lori Z.
Lori Z, there
yep.
you go.
With a dot after the Z.
Oh, don't start that. You're not the only Lori Z in the world?
Oh, well, that's another funny story. When I was on the air on, I think it was KVRE, because I did have my commercial radio experience for a solid 15 years. And then it was during that time that I was getting my mobile DJ business established. Mm. But anyway, yeah, KVRE, that like predates The Crush.
Oh,
and
here in Sonoma County.
Yes,
yeah.
But I was also in the first crew at The Crush.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's what a long, strange trip it's been. I forgot. I kind of got sidetracked about why I was talking about commercial radio. But it had something to do with somebody calling me and asking me if I knew another Lori Z, and I was like, no, there is only one, and they were like. No, I swear to you, there is another DJ, Lori Z. And I'm like, it was like, stop, you know, that is not funny. That has been my moniker for so long. And if somebody else is using it, I'm suing.
But you never found out.
No, I never found out.
All right. Well, then you're the only Lori Z.
I think I did Google it at one point, and I think there was an artist.
Oh.
So I didn't mind being, you know, maybe
right.
that there was an artist named Lori Z
yeah.
out there. Because I actually do consider myself an artist. That's really where it all comes from.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, great having you again. We've seen each other so much. We were at the film festival. Laurie Z was all over it.
It was
we
so great.
Out.
It was so great to see how Outwatch Film Festival is continuing to grow.
Our biggest year ever, 7 years.
So, so that's really nice to have it associated with the Rialto, also in Sebastopol.
Right. Right.
Little plug there.
Sebastopol.
Yes, we're plugging
right.
West County. Woohoo! A world of its own.
Do they really I guess they call Sebastopol West County. I was wondering
they
the
do.
Other day when we were
they
there,
do.
I was like, oh, because I always think it's kind of the outer regions. But
it is
I mean, it's known as West County. Right, right.
Definitely.
It's the west part of the county.
Yes. It's a new hashtag I've created, West County LGBTQ.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. Just trying to encourage people to. You know, come over there and,
right.
and show
out,
their support.
Support each other.
Yes.
Support each other's, you know, projects.
Yeah.
Right.
Businesses.
And that's how
supporting
you learn.
Local business.
Business.
I mean,
yeah.
Even though in West County we were so lucky to be spared from the horrible firestorm, it's still important to always be supporting local business
right.
in Sonoma County and Napa County, for that
right.
matter. This is a way for us to rebuild
right.
and keep strong. Hashtag Sonoma Strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you know, and the West County was there when, you know, when people were fleeing to the coast.
Oh, yes. Believe me, I had
people in Bodega Bay and Sebastopol and in Petaluma, not West County, but really assisting people when they themselves weren't
I had
affected.
Several people from who had been evacuated staying at my house in Sebastopol during the period last year. And it was so scary because, you know, I was constantly on edge of whether we were going to have to go,
right.
too. I mean,
one more, right.
didn't know what was going to happen.
Yep.
So I had all that list of things you needed to have
right.
if you needed to leave quickly. Mm-hmm. And a house full of people.
Right, right. True. I mean, they were evacuating evacuation centers.
Yeah.
I mean, as the fires raged for a week, 2 weeks almost.
Yeah. And it was scary the other day. The conditions were very, very similar to what was going on a year ago. Very hot and windy.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I was getting deja vu, and I was like,
really?
Okay, just relax. It's okay. It's all good.
Good. When that wind, I know, when that wind kicks up and it's been really warm during the day, you think, yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes,
we're going to have a fire in a good sense at the
there
Star.
There you go. Springing it all
Saturday,
home.
October 27th. The new house party that I'm calling Shine, featuring a special edition of Devils and Divas. We want to see you there.
Yep. No cover.
No cover.
At
just have
the
fun. The Star in Sebastopol.
Thanks so much, my love.
It's always so good to
come
see
back.
You, Larry. I would love to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back to Outbeat Collage. I'm Gary Carnevale here in the KRCB studios with Anthony Garcia and my second guest, Dave Hall, who is Food Program and Facilities Manager at Food for Thought in Forestville. Welcome, Dave.
I'm glad to be here.
First time here, huh?
Very first time on
the
radio.
We always have lots of other people from Food for Thought.
We do. There's a number of us, and mostly the development department.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So, honored to be asked to come do this.
Nice. So talk about what you do there and how long you've been at Food for Thought.
So I've been with Food for Thought for about 6.5 years now. I'm the food program and facilities manager, which means I run the entire food program. Hmm. Groceries coming in, donations coming in, food going out to our clients, whether it be for clients walking into the food bank to pick up food, or for many of our clients who we send food to because they're not able to come into the food bank.
Nice, nice. And how many clients do you have presently?
We currently have about 700 clients,
okay.
with about a third of them actually being on delivery at any given point.
And I heard the delivery system is quite large.
Yeah, we cover all of Sonoma County. So anybody who lives within the county can become a client who fits into the parameters. And we have deliveries from Sonoma to Casadero and from Cloverdale all the way down to Petaluma.
Wow, Wow. That's, I mean, it's a big county. That's a lot of territory.
22 routes.
Wow.
And all of the deliveries are made by volunteers.
Wow.
So they put in their own time, their own vehicle, gas, everything.
Oh.
They're really amazing.
That is amazing. That is amazing. How many folks would you say get delivered food?
I think we have about 185 clients right now who are on delivery.
So that's a pretty high percentage of the overall client base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they sort of phone in their orders or?
So clients can get food once a week. And so when they're on delivery, they're on a specific route. Mm-hmm. We have certain days that our volunteers will sit down and call them to place their order. Their order goes out the following day.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So. Nice. Because there's, you know, lots of fresh food, so it's not just canned goods. So once a week is nice to get fresh food to people.
Right, and because we do offer fresh produce as part of their order, and we want to make sure that it's fresh when it gets to them,
right,
that we deliver once a week.
Yeah, yeah. So talk about some of the businesses who provide food for you.
We have some of the larger grocery stores who provide donations to us. Safeway does, Whole Foods does. I'm drawing a blank now. You're going to have to cut that space out.
Oh, that's okay. Like the markets in Sebastopol or some community markets maybe? Or
Community market is one of them.
There we go.
We also do food drives at a bunch of the local markets.
Yeah.
So Oliver's Market is a big one where we do food drive. Safeway is another one.
Nice. Yeah, so it's a weekly, isn't it? The food drive Saturdays, every Saturday for the most part.
The food drives are the first three Saturdays of the month.
Mm.
And then we do one Sunday, usually on the second week of the month.
Right, right. And all that information is on your website.
It's all available on our websites with the schedules of which stores you can go to. Mm. And people often, you know, we give them a sheet of what we need and what we're looking for.
Yeah.
They'll go in and shop. They'll buy those items. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of donors would rather just drop off some cash.
Right, right.
Which is a really great way to help support us. And I can actually buy more with the cash that's donated to us than they can in the store.
Right, right. So you're going to distribution centers to purchase food?
We do work with Redwood Empire Food Bank to get some of our food. We've also been able to create some really good deals with some of the major distributors, Sysco Foods, we purchase from CNS Wholesale Grocers, Andy's Produce, which is a local wholesaler.
Nice.
Has been really good to us over the years.
Oh, for produce.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. What, can you give us a sense of, the amount of canned goods that you all go through in maybe a week or a month, or I know it's difficult.
That one's a really difficult one to answer.
Right.
I know
that
we do provide produce specifically. We have some guidelines around that.
Yeah.
Where we offer six fruit choices and four vegetable choices.
Okay.
Each week.
Yeah.
Plus clients can get bananas. Plus they can get onions. Plus they can get potatoes. And then we have a lot of produce that gets donated from local vendors or comes from Redwood Empire that we just offer that as extra.
Right, right.
So
right.
Even though it seems like we may not be giving a lot of produce, there's a whole bunch of extra stuff beyond that.
Okay.
So somebody can literally walk out with a full grocery bag of produce.
So what has been sort of the impact on expanding your programs beyond just folks with HIV to folks with other illnesses?
So about 4 years ago, we decided that we would expand our services to people with other illnesses, and we've had several pilot programs that have gone really well now.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently in the middle of a state pilot program with five other agencies in the state of California. And it is a Medi-Cal program where people with congestive heart failure who are coming directly out of the hospital, we will provide food for them for 3 months.
Mm.
And it's very specific. It's healthy foods, a lot of frozen meals that are prepared That they can just heat up each week
each
day. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a bag of groceries that they can put together different components of it to make their breakfast each day.
Right.
So all three meals are provided for them each week.
Ah, as part of this program.
As part of this pilot program, yeah.
So that's the sort of first step? I mean, can folks still just come in or are you identifying folks who have illnesses sort of first and then they become clients?
We're not doing anything that's health issue specific.
Okay.
We are looking at expanding the parameters of how we can serve more people. We know there's a huge need in Sonoma County.
Right.
People coming out of hospitals, people dealing with serious health issues. And so we're in the final stages of putting together how we're going to continue to expand our services. So we're hoping within the next month or two that we're going to begin to take on another group of people with serious health issues.
Oh, okay. Nice. So how many volunteers are there presently?
We currently have about 400 volunteers that are active and volunteer regularly with the food bank.
Right.
We have other volunteers that kind of come and go or come for a while and then go. And so that number could go up to 600 over the course of a year.
And a number of your clients are also volunteers.
Yeah. A lot of our clients who are able to get out and come get groceries, they'll come and they'll work a volunteer shift. They get their groceries. We also have a congregate lunch program, so they may stay and have lunch and then they head on their way with their groceries and enjoy the rest of their
day.
Nice.
And you're still doing sort of cooking classes and nutrition classes?
We still offer the cooking classes twice a month. We have a dietitian who comes in, and one of the classes is primarily focused around what to make or, you know, maybe seasonal or whatnot. The second class is oftentimes focused around nutrition and healthy components of how to prepare different things. The last one that Nina did was around salt and sodium and how much you should have and how it gets in your food
and
how to manage it, different things you can do to reduce the sodium content.
Right.
Because as well, with our current pilot program, it's congestive heart failure.
Right.
With the state pilot program.
It's an issue.
So it's a huge issue.
Right, especially in prepared foods.
Right. And so we've started offering spices that don't have any salt, so people have something else to flavor their food besides salt.
Right. A nice substitute if salt's a problem.
Yeah, because a lot of people complain about food being bland once the salt is taken out. So what can we do to help support something else instead of the salt to add flavor back into it?
Yes,
and it's been well received.
Oh, good. So. Big need for volunteers this.
We're always looking for more volunteers. Right. We're currently looking for drivers. Those are always really important. And for the routes, oftentimes there are 5 to 8 clients that they would be delivering to each week.
Yeah.
We're always looking for volunteers to work in the food bank, doing different shifts. But we can work with many people depending on what they want to do.
Uh-huh.
We have administration volunteers that help on the other side of the food bank, doing some of the administration stuff that has to happen.
Right.
So,
how many folks are generally in the food bank itself during the day, volunteer wise?
There might be 15 to 25.
Yeah.
We have with what happens in the food bank between working in the food bank, deliveries, doing pickups from local markets, we'll have about 250 volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, each week that actually in the food bank.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot to.
Right. I bet that's a big job for someone doing all that scheduling.
It is a very big job for Helen, who is just absolutely amazing.
Right.
Our volunteer manager. And I'm really glad she's doing it and not me.
And not you. I know. If you've ever been like the person who has to schedule like more than 5 people, it's a big job.
I came from grocery stores had to write
retail
schedules for the courtesy clerks, and there'd be 40 of them with all their stuff going on. And
a million little notes, right?
Yeah.
So you have your big fundraiser is coming up, Dining Out for Life. Tell us about that.
So Dining Out for Life is actually our biggest fundraiser of the year. And we work with local restaurants to set up one day where people can come, they can have dinner, enjoy fine wine. Yeah, and it goes on all day. It could be breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah.
And we expect to have about 70 restaurants this year participating.
Nice.
And the restaurants, out of their proceeds from the day, will donate between 25 and 50% of their proceeds to us.
Right, right. Nice. What do you know what sort of new restaurants you've signed up this year?
Unfortunately, I didn't bring a list with me.
The list is usually on the website.
The list is available on the website. Yeah. You can contact us. List may not be out quite yet because they're doing the final touches. They want to make sure that all of the restaurants who've signed up to participate this year get on the list. The postcards are going to be going out to people soon.
Okay.
You'll start to see signs in restaurant windows.
Nice.
And restaurants are all over the county, so it's not just specific to Santa Rosa, but we've got restaurants in Bodega and Petaluma and, you know, just about anywhere you want to go.
Sonoma was kind of sad for a while there. It was nice to see over the last couple of years more restaurants in Sonoma. That's where I live. But and then, of course, you need ambassadors.
We always need volunteers and ambassadors. If you're interested in volunteering, contact Helen, and she would be happy to sign you up. Or you can sign up through our website as well.
Right, right. Which is FFT.
Our website is fftfoodbank.org.
There you go. And just redesigned recently.
Yeah, we just redesigned our website, which is really cool. It's more up to date, more modern. We've got some fresher pictures on there, newer information.
Nice. And you have a great newsletter to send out every month to those of us.
Our development department works pretty hard on that. And we've got a pretty amazing crew back there.
And you sort of highlight it, a volunteer every year and celebrate anniversaries of volunteers. And it's
and our clients.
Well, I really miss Calabash. I was going for years and years. I could completely understand having to do it every year and the amount of work that goes into it. How did that come about, deciding not to do it?
It was a hard decision because it's been really an incredible event and it's very popular. Mm-hmm. People love it. And then there's the other side of it of how many gourds can I fit in my house?
It's the same thing everyone says. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I have five or six.
So there was some falling off from people or people were coming and weren't purchasing as much. And, you know, it was time to just freshen it up. And we had a new team of people in our development department who had newer, fresher ideas.
Right.
And so we had done Haberdash last year. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's been some changes in our development department where the woman who was doing it actually moved to our antique store, which has been a really great move. She's a really talented woman.
Oh, yeah.
But it kind of left us short for all these events and things to put on.
Right. And that's a big event to plan.
Yeah. There's lots and lots of moving parts. And lots of people involved.
Right.
It takes even more volunteers.
It leaves a void in October, I must say. I always think, it's early October. What should be happening? Where should I be?
What should I do? Oh, my
gosh. Calabash. But talk about the antique store, which is a great, great place.
Yeah. So the antique store is in Sebastopol. It's been there. We've had it for about 10 years. And the woman who runs it, Mary, is really talented and has kind of cleaned it out and opened up some space and made it easier to get around without feeling like you're going to knock over something and brought in new merchandise that we haven't had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are loving it.
Right.
I'm hearing
how many years has it been open?
Well, we've had it for about 10 years.
10.
It was... a client who passed away, he actually left it to us in his will or in his estate. And
the property itself.
The business itself.
The business. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So
I sort of remember the story when it just started, because I think they used to do sort of like, you know, like a tag sale, like a big garage sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, chatting with folks at Food for Thought and saying, oh, my God, we've got this giant storeroom of all this furniture. And then they were left this space. And And it's a fun, you know, it's really probably one of the best antique places in Sebastopol. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I the book collection always sort of just blows my mind. If you're looking for sort of, you know, vintage, especially LGBT stuff, just it's an incredible collection.
Mm-hmm.
And curated well. And I could just imagine, you know, finding out the prices for, you know, what these things are worth. You know, sometimes first editions of, you know, really rare to find LGBT books and others.
That are available really expensively.
Right, right.
Or inexpensively.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cut that part out.
Right. But always great furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of mid-century stuff. And yeah.
Yeah, and they've expanded out into the whole garden area a few years ago, so there's lots of real cool garden art. And
yeah.
If you need a goat for your hill, she's got one of those out there. You know,
are they doing a holiday? Pigs. Are they doing a holiday event there? I thought they have in the past. I can't remember.
I think in the past they've just done a little open house during the holidays.
Okay. And then at Food for Thought itself, are you doing sort of the wine basket, gift baskets for the holidays?
So we do the wine boxes every year, and we're getting ready to do that. A lot of the local wineries and vineyards donate these amazing, mm-hmm. really incredible bottles of wine. And we box them up, and people come in and get to purchase those, and it's right around the holidays,
it's
so beginning
perfect.
Of December.
It's really good. Is that available yet? Has it started on the website?
Those aren't available yet. They won't start until the beginning of December.
Okay, so information will come along in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you'll start to see information probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. We know you're buying wine out there, so you may as well, you know, purchase it where it's going to the a good cause, right?
Yeah, because all the proceeds go to us, and the wine bottles have been donated, and it's a great way for us to raise money to buy food.
Perfect. So. Good. Give us the website again, and maybe a quick follow-up with Dining Out for Life before we close up our conversation.
Okay. So our website is at fftfoodbank.org. And a little bit about Dining Out for Life. It is on Thursday, November 29th. We will have over 70 restaurants across Sonoma County who are participating. Dining out will help us raise money for our clients. And each restaurant will donate between 25 and 50% of the proceeds. Many of the restaurants donate from the food portion of your bill, but some restaurants actually donate from the alcohol portions as well. So look for that. Those are on our website, and it will be in the postcards and the information, which restaurants. A little tip. I usually, when I'm looking at what restaurant I want to go to, I pick either the ones that are 50%.
Right.
Or I save the restaurants that are out of my budget that I couldn't normally go to, and I go there that day.
Special treat.
So yeah, it's a special treat for me and my friends, and it also raises more money and for Food for Thought.
Right, and make reservations at these restaurants because they do fill up.
Most definitely. Yeah. I've actually been an ambassador there, and you go in at 5 o'clock, and by 5:30 the restaurant is full,
right?
And may go that way until 8:30 and 9 o'clock at night. So it's always ideal to make reservations.
Yeah.
If you want more information about Dining Out for Life, you can go to our website, fftfoodbank.org/dining-out-for-life. And you'll find more information there.
Great, Dave. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's great to meet you finally, and best of luck.
All right. Thanks, Gary. It's good to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
Greg Moralia will be back next week. Please listen to Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB. I'll be back in November. Speaking of November, don't forget to vote, please. All right, everyone. Good night.